This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Wassalamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyid al-rusul wa khatim al-anbiya. وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. These beautiful verses of the Quran that I just recited before you are such powerful in meaning. Because within these verses we hold the great love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually one of the links from the many links that complete our faith. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said in a very beautiful and profound statement, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. One of you can never be a complete believer until I am more beloved to you than your father, your child, and all of mankind. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he heard this hadith, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than everyone but myself. If I had to sacrifice you or myself, I would sacrifice you, not myself. I still love myself more than I love you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Muhammad, at that point, your faith is not complete. You need to learn to love your Nabi. You need to learn to love your religion. You need to learn to love your Lord more than yourself. Where if you ever have to compromise, then do I compromise my ego, my desire, my decision? Or should I forego the message of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no second thought in your mind. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu then says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, if that is the case, then I love you now even more than myself. Now the words of this hadith are actually very beautiful. I want to focus on them for a moment before I move forward to this point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you cannot be a complete believer until I am more beloved to you than your father and your child. Walid, walad. Until I am more beloved to you than his, until I am more beloved to him, it's a third party statement, حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ, until I am more beloved to him than his father and his child. Now realistically when you look at it, usually does a child love his father more or the father love his child more? Usually children are more beloved in comparison to how much people love their parents. The general, overall, if you see how much a child loves his father and compare how much the father loves his child, usually the father's love for his child will outweigh the other way around any day. But the hadith doesn't bring child first, it actually brings father first. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say father first and child second? When technically it would make more sense if he said child first and father second, because children are loved more as compared to their fathers. The answer to this, the scholars of hadith have said, is because not every person has a child, but every human being has a father. So the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relates to every single person. Everyone can take a lesson back home. Because not every person has a child. A child is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a father is given to every single human being. A mother is given to every single human being. Therefore, your love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be so intense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful surah, وَالضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, you know, he uses these beautiful metaphors. وَالضُحَى. وَالضُحَى is referred to, الضُحَى is referred to the morning after the sun rises. That part of the morning when the sun rises is what we call dhuha. It's called the time of the mid-morning, or the early morning of dhuha. Now scholars of tafsir, those scholars who commented on the Qur'an, some of them, they take the literal meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the mid-morning. And the other group of scholars, they say, no, this isn't actually a literal statement. Rather, this word duha is a metaphor. And the mid-morning is actually referring to the beauty of the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wal-layl idha saja, in the night when it settles in. Some scholars take the literal meaning of this and say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the night. And the other group of scholars, they say, no, this is actually a metaphor as well. And in this, by this oath of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the companion said, his hair was dark like that of the beauty of the night. And then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. That your Lord hasn't abandoned you. You know how sometimes in life we feel that our Lord has abandoned us? When we're caught in some sort of financial difficulty, some family difficulty, going through a divorce, child has become disobedient, been robbed overnight, or something's happened. Something very dear to us was taken away from us, and we feel that we've been abandoned. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord hasn't abandoned you. وَمَا قَلَى, and neither is He angry with you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The hereafter will be better than what comes first. What comes after will be better than what's here with you today. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord will grant you until He pleases you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single aspect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preserved in order to make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And why did that make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy? Because by preserving the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we now have guaranteed that those people who will tread the earth until the day of judgment will always have a pathway to follow, meaning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Had the pathway of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not been preserved, then today we Muslims living in the 21st century, unfortunately, may Allah save us and protect us, possibly may have adopted a new religion of our own and created our own pathway using our own weak intellect on how to act upon the deen. But because we have this preservation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath to preserve the Quran, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr, that indeed we have revealed this remembrance, wa inna lahu lahafidhun, and we will protect it. Allah azza wa jalla didn't only protect the words of the Quran. That's more than obvious, that these Qurans that we have on our shelves are identical with the Qurans that we have in Africa, India, and Saudi Arabia. They're identical because Allah azza wa jalla took an oath, inna allaha la yukhliful mi'ad, and Allah azza wa jalla never goes against His promise. Once He makes a promise, He fulfills it. Therefore, the words of the Quran, without doubt, were preserved, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took preservation to another level, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even preserved the pronunciation of the Quran. The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pronounced the Quran. Can you imagine that? The way he pronounced it today, we have the ability and skill to pronounce the Quran in the very same way, knowing this is how the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, recited the Quran. And how he stopped while reciting the Quran. And which verse he recited before which verse. And the beautiful recitation of the Quran was also preserved. Then beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't stop with preserving the alfaz, the meanings, or the pronunciations. The words and the pronunciations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even preserved the ma'ani of the Qur'an, the meanings of the Qur'an. And what are the meanings of the Qur'an? The meanings of the Qur'an are the prophetic tradition, the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is actually the preservation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a part of preserving the Qur'an. Because whenever someone attacks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in reality they're attacking the meaning of the Qur'an. When someone attacks the Quran, they're attacking the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For these things are actually intertwined with one another. Revelation is given to the Nabi, the Prophet, the Rasul, the Messenger. And it is the responsibility of the Messenger to ensure that no one ever raises a finger against the revelation. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ensures that every one of His Prophets are ma'soom. Ma'soom means they are protected from sins. They are protected that someone can stand up during their life and say that he committed this mistake, he made this mistake, and he has this fault in him, and he has done this wrong. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, they gathered together to plot against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they planned against him. You know, our planning agencies, those who plot against the Muslims today, have nothing in comparison to what had been plotted against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his life. The plots against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were so grandeur that Shaitan himself would join them. Shaytan himself came in the form of Shaykh al-Najd to Darul Nadwa to plan against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He refers to their plotting in the Quran. At the end of Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ. Indeed, they plotted. وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ. And Allah is aware of their plotting. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. And had they plotted like this against a mountain, even the mountain will perish. فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلًا. Don't think for a single second that Allah is going to abandon His messenger. فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلًا. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ever go against the promise He made to His messenger. Inna Allah azizun dhu intiqam. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honorable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes revenge if there is a need to. فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلًا. Inna Allah azizun dhu intiqam. From these verses, what we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, where does this relate to where we are today? We live in a time where, in reality, the attacks that were made against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago haven't stopped. And every time someone wants to attack Islam, the easiest target for them will either be the Qur'an or the Sunnah. The Qur'an or the Sunnah. Because these are two things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised before he passed away. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْنِ لَنْ تَضِلُّ إِنْ تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهُ وَسُنَّةِ. Hold on to these two things, you can never be misguided. So the attacks are constantly going back and forth. You know, historically, the German Orientalists, the Mustashriqeen, the Orientalists, they had a party, you know, just a few hundred years back, attacking the Quran and trying to prove how the Quran hadn't been preserved the way the Muslims claim. And they made all sorts of attacks from left, right, center, trying to attack the meaning, the words, and all sorts of preservation of the Quran. But they failed miserably because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you can never attack the Quran. Then they turned their attention toward the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Orientalists went at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the one thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us before he passed away, he said to us that there will always be a group of people from my ummah who will stand up to preserve and defend the honor of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever people come throughout history, whenever people come to the end of time to attack Islam, there will always be a people. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو سيد الصادقين لا يزال من أمتي أمة قائمة بأمر الله لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he is the most truthful of those who've spoken the truth, that from my nation there will always be a group of people who will hold firmly to the deen. And they will not be put down by anyone who tries to disgrace them or anyone who tries to oppose them. They will stand firmly preserving and guarding the deen until death comes to them while they are on this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, that may glad tidings be for the strangers. In English we call it the weirdos, the people who look strange. You know, someone who doesn't look normal. May glad tidings be for the strangers. And the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, who are these strangers? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where acting upon my sunnah will be strange. When you walk on the streets, when you walk in your malls, when you walk through your schools, and you adorn yourself, what we know is the sunnah, the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his tradition, people will look at you with a twisted head and say, that's strange right there. There's something abnormal about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions, a time will come where acting upon my sunnah will be strange. So then he said, may glad tidings be to the strangers. إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبٌ وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. And may glad tidings be to these strangers. Because once upon a time, I, Muhammad, and my followers were also called strange when we stood with the kalima La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, in the early days of Islam. We, as a community, we need to build confidence within our tradition. We need to feel firm about our tradition. How do we feel firm about our tradition? How do we feel firm about our sunnah? Two quick things. The first thing, we need to increase our belief that the tradition that we have before us today is solid and firm and hasn't been fabricated. You know, compare the tradition of Islam with other religions. If I said to you, tell me the names of the forefathers of any Nabi other than the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we would get stuck at maybe the grandfather or great-grandfather while using authentic narrations. But when it comes to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to know that there is so much preserved about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, within the collections of narrations, that we have so much information that we can bring into our life that hasn't been tampered with, neither has it been fabricated, authentic narrations. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi in the Sahih, he narrates the narration, teaching us the forefathers, the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why is it important to know the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that my lineage is actually a blessed lineage. Kulluna min nikah, la min sifah. Because every one of my forefathers was born through wedlock. No one was ever born outside wedlock through adultery. This is a very sacred lineage. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions, who were his forefathers? He said, my name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abd Manaf, ibn Qusay, ibn Kilab, ibn Murra, ibn Ka'b, ibn Lu'ay, ibn Ghalib, ibn Fihm, ibn Malik, ibn Nadr, ibn Kinana, ibn Khuzaymah, ibn Mudrika, ibn Ilyas, ibn Nazar, ibn Ma'ad, ibn Adnan. The narration of Bukhari ends here. And then Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, in his beautiful work of history, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he takes this narration from Adnan and links it all the way back to Adam alayhi salam. The scholars who commented on Ibn Kathir's his lineage, they have some commentary on that and some discussion on that. But one thing we know for sure is that until Adnan, almost 20 links of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have untampered and authentic. This is something we as Muslims should take pride in, that our tradition has been preserved. And this should create confidence within us, that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, I actually have first-hand access to do exactly that. The second thing is we should always work on increasing our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know that individual connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sitting down and remembering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions, the one thing that they had that made them into who they were was their unconditional love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't just say they followed him, rather they believed in him and they loved him before they followed him. They loved him so deeply that for them to live, to die many times was easier than for just a thorn to be poked into the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would sit down and they would love spending time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know how many of us, when we're sitting in gatherings where a hadith is being discussed, فَنَعَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ may Allah protect, but this is a reality. Or when we enter into the masjid, while the khatib is giving his khutbah, the only thing that crosses our mind is that when is this guy going to stop? I have to go back home. We're just waiting to leave and head out back to our activities and our lives back outside the doors of the masajid. But for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for them it was not a burden or a chore to attend the masjid or be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a beauty to it. They enjoyed it. There were so many aspects that they enjoyed being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make jokes and he would laugh at them. And the companions say when he used to laugh, everyone in the gathering used to laugh. There was this beautiful smile the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And a companion says, in the hadith is in Bukhari, that the companion says that every single time I met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after I read the Shahada, he was smiling. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right, إِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. That indeed it is from a good deed that when you meet your brother, you meet him with a glowing face. You meet him with an enlightened face, because that was a prophetic way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions would sit with him. They used to enjoy just sitting there looking at him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he narrates the narration that one day I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three things that I love very dearly. The first thing I love is itr. Itr is what we call fragrance. He said, the second thing that I love is a pious wife. A pious lady, I love a pious wife. And the third thing he said to the people that I love, he said, وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And the coolness of my eyes lies in prayer. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu raises his hand, he says, O Messenger of Allah, if you grant me permission, I would like to tell you three things that I also love. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go ahead Abu Bakr, tell me what you love. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I love sitting here looking at your beautiful face. It gives peace to my heart. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I love earning money and spending it on you. You know, there was a nation that enjoyed spending for the deen. He said, I love earning money and spending it on you. And he said, the third thing I take pride in saying that my daughter Aisha is your wife and I am the father of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single thing that amazed him revolved around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the companions, when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just his physical features, they were so beautiful that it reminded them of his greatness. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with such perfection, right? No human being is perfect. The Anbiya alayhi wasalam, the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. That's why Hassan bin Thabit, he climbed the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day, and he praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his face, and he said, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلَقَّتُ عَيْنِي. More beautiful than you, my eyes have never seen. وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. More handsome than you, no mother has ever given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنِ. You have been created free of all defects. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. It's as if Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the choice to be created how you wish to be created. That's what the Arabic poet, he said, يَا صَاحِبَ الْجَمَالِ وَيَا سَيِّدَ الْبَشَرِ مِنْ وَجْهِكَ الْمُنِيرِ لَقَدْ نُوِّرَ الْقَمَرِ. O leader of mankind, ya sahib al-jamal, O possessor of beauty, wa ya sayyid al-bashar, and leader of mankind, min wajhika al-munir, from your enlightened face, laqad nuwwira al-qamar, the moon takes its light. You know, the Urdu poet, he copies him. In Urdu, he says, chand se tashbih dena ye bhi koi insaaf hai, uske muh pe chhaya madni ka chehra saaf hai. That how dare you make a comparison between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the moon. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's sitting with her friends, and they're reading the verses of Surah Yusuf, and the companions sitting there, they begin to boast over the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, that how beautiful he was. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she says to her friends, لَوَامِ زُلَيْخَ لَوْ رَأَيْنَ جَبِينَهُ لَأَثَرْنَ قَطْعَ الْقُلُوبَ عَلَى الْأَيْدِي. That the women who mocked Zulaykha, if they were just to see the forehead of my Muhammad, the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the forehead is that part of the face that actually has no features. لَوَامِ زُلَيْخَ لَوْ رَأَيْنَ جَبِينَهُ. The women who mocked Zulaykha, if they were just to see the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَأَثَرْنَ قَطْعَ الْقُلُوبَ عَلَى الْأَيْدِي. They would carve their hearts out rather than accidentally cutting their fingers. Before I continue, can everyone please move forward? There are some brothers waiting outside. Please move forward as much as you can. Let's pray to the face. Move forward, Allah makes space for us and Jannah all together, inshallah. It would be unjust of me to end this khutbah without further going ahead describing for you the physical features of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I firmly believe that knowing the physical outline of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within itself is not an act of worship, but it increases the person in the love for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why the great scholars like Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi collected the beautiful shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. And the shama'il are the personal life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a teacher.